This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for February the 1st, 2011, episode number 67, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, horse world!
The very first word that I ever said, the visions of galloping in my head. Flowing, tails held high, I knew that I was born to ride. I was born to ride, like a bird was born to fly. Fish gotta swim, sun's gotta shine. Love me, love my
y'all. It's so nice to be with you today. This is a special recorded episode of Horses in the Morning. There is actually no one here. I would say calling today probably wouldn't be the most terrific idea. You won't get through, and there'll be nobody here to answer it. We're all on our way home from Philadelphia from the American Equestrian Trade Association show. We hope you caught yesterday's show. If you didn't, I would listen back to it on our recorded episode. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com and listen. I'm sure we had a wonderful time recording live from the American Equestrian Trade Association. This is, as I said, a special recorded episode. We're going to bring you a best of episode today. Jamie and Jennifer and I all went through and picked out a couple of our favorite interviews over the last couple of months and things that came up on the show. We hope you enjoy this. We know that a lot of you have not been listening since the beginning. If you have, this will be a repeat and you can skip till tomorrow or take a listen anyway. They were so much fun. I think some of these were worth repeating. So that's why we're bringing them to you today. Plus, we're going to throw in some of the favorite music that's become favorites of everybody according to our Facebook page. So we'll throw in a song in between each one of these, and we hope you enjoy that as well. Well, let's get started. Back in December the 15th, we had an interview with Reindeer Wrangler Bob that I think everybody that will remember, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. It was actually one of Jennifer's favorites. So this is a Jennifer pick, Reindeer Wrangler Bob.
Well, I think another favorite is going to be our first guest who's on here. And at the expense of messing up your last name, Bob, I'm just going to call you Reindeer Wrangling Bob. And I bet you never in 100 years, Bob, thought you would have that name.
I never, ever, ever. And with a name like Equus Apache, I expect a lot of messed up titles.
I bet you do. Now, this is. Did you ever believe that this little story about a little story in California that would go basically all over the horse world, that you would end up someday saving Christmas?
You know, I don't think I saved Christmas, but I do enjoy all the teasing that I get from my friends and such.
I bet you do. So now you're just working away at the ranch. Tell us what you do at the ranch. What's your job there?
Well, I was actually doing some day work at a different ranch. I've got one of my own, and I do, you know, odds and ends and other outfits. And my wife had actually called the owner, and his daughter came and caught me and said, your wife needs you really badly.
Oh, and you probably had a heart attack.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't know. I mean, for her to interrupt, you know, my work or whatever, I mean, it had to be pretty severe and pretty world-changing. And well, I think it kind of has been, really.
So So you got the call that there was a reindeer on the loose, and I think the funniest part is he was running through a strawberry patch, which just adds to the fairy tale of all of this. So there's a reindeer on the loose in a subdivision at this point. Is the call you got?
He was still in the strawberry patch at that point, and on the way over there, I started calling everybody who I knew how to, or everybody who could swing a rope that I knew. And anybody who answered just plumb didn't believe me or thought that I was trying to coax them into a bar or, you know how cowboys are.
Yeah.
And, by the time I showed up, it was crazy. News cameras and cops everywhere. It was bananas.
And this poor, what looked like absolutely scared to death reindeer.
Oh, yeah. That poor creature. I mean, I have nothing but sympathy for that poor animal. He had gotten chased around by cops with sirens to people on bikes. Everybody was just chasing him afoot, and it was pandemonium. I mean, pandemonium. It was quite a sight to see.
And there were like hundreds of people watching. I posted the video on our Facebook page so our listeners right now can check it out. But you came on the scene like Roy Rogers came on the scene. And did you end up lassoing it? Is that how you got it?
Yeah, actually, the officers had told me, we were trying to make sure that he stays out of traffic. And fortunately, he ran. We probably chased him for 3/4 of a mile through strawberry fields and such. And he ended up going into that housing tract, and we had chased him through the tract for a while. And finally, honestly, there's footage out there, and there's a kid that's saying, "Oh, and now Christmas has been saved," or something like that. Or
yeah.
Now he knows that
Santa's
real. Well, his garage has been blessed by having this reindeer in there, because that was the only way that we could get close enough to him, is that he ran into the garage, and we were able to kind of keep him hemmed up in there long enough so that I could get a shot on roping it. I mean, he was bouncing off of pool tables and ladders and dishwashers. And it was surreal.
That's kind of sad, too. Now, we're a horse show, obviously. We deal with the horse community, so I have to ask you about the horse you were riding. What was it, a quarter horse, and what was the name?
I call her Sparky, and yeah, she's a quarter horse. And if I've got 8 horses, and coincidentally, that is the one that I would want to have on that particular day. She came second up in a horse race here in town, and she is just gentle, real gentle, is kind of okay with whatever weird positions you put her in, and yeah, this one kind of topped them all, really.
So you get the phone call, and you're on your horse at the time, or did you have to like run and load her up and tack her up and all that kind of on the way, or were you riding? I kind of missed that.
We were actually out at a set of corrals, and I was sorting a bunch of cattle, and that's when I was told to go home, load up, go find your wife. And it wasn't until I actually got on the road, probably half an hour or whatever later, that I got back into cell service, that I was able to get the scoop as to why I had to leave. And I almost drove off the road.
So they say, throw your horse in the trailer, we'll tell you why later, just get out here to your wife. And you get out there, and you find out there's a reindeer. So obviously your horse had to work pretty hard. How's she doing?
She's doing great. She's doing great. She, fortunately enough, I don't like to keep shoes on horses unless I have to. And with the asphalt and the concrete and such, that probably saved me from falling down a time or two, not having shoes.
Yeah. I mean, to see you galloping around on the pavement was as a rider, it kind of made me a little bit concerned for a second, like, oh, don't slip. But actually, it looked pretty good. So the no shoes was the key, huh?
Well, it certainly was in my favor anyway. And I was I was petrified because I didn't know what a reindeer would do if I was able to rope it. And then, you know, I was jumping over rose bushes and all kinds of stuff that just, well, it was quite a trail horse class anyway.
Extreme trail horse.
Yeah, you're ready for competition trail riding there, Bob. I'll tell you what.
Oh, heck yeah.
What a good pony. Go give her
this
a carrot for
mine. This has to be our story of the year, by the way. I'm just nominating this right now as the story of the year. You're our hero, Bob. This is great. This is just great.
Yay, Bob! And I just want to say that if you do go watch the video, this poor little kid at the end, what I thought when I watched this is, I mean, first of all, Bob, you're amazing. I mean, and your horse is phenomenal. But I'm watching this video, and I guess the little kid that they caught the reindeer, he's like, I don't know, he's got to be 7 or 8 years old, and he's standing out there, and at the end he goes, "Now, I guess if this can happen, there really is a Santa Claus." I'm like, this poor kid, that is going to follow him around the rest of his life. He's going to be getting married, and they're going to play the clip of him saying that about Santa Claus at his wedding. I mean, the poor guy, that's his 5-15 minutes of fame, is talking about how there really is a Santa. Well, of course there is, little guy, you know, but it's just so funny. I loved it.
Oh, that kid was adorable. He was one of the first ones there, and he came up and he asked all the officers and all that. He said, "Can I pet it?" We're like,
"Aww.
Yes, I don't know."
Well, I got to ask, we have to end with, I know you have to run out of here soon, so I do have to add, and we thank you so much for getting up this early to join us, but was the reindeer okay? Everything's okay with the reindeer?
No, he was fine. He was absolutely fine. He's went on to a new Christmas tree lot, and everything was fine. He's still happy and probably just eating whatever reindeer eat, and happy as a lark.
And they'll have a little bigger fence up for him this time.
Yeah, I would kind of hope so anyway.
Thank you, Bob, and Merry Christmas. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. You guys have
a
great day, won't you?
Have a great day on the ranch, Bob.
Well, and that was Reindeer Wrangling Bob, one of Jennifer's picks for the top bits over the last couple of months. Well, my pick for probably the top song over the last couple of months that I liked the best was Hayin' Time by Marianne Kennedy, and we're going to play a little Hayin' Time for you right after I talk to you about our sponsor for this particular show, and that's Pfizer Animal Health. Help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and the other Innovator family of vaccines. Or learn more at PfizerAH.com. That's PfizerAH.
So far from winter, the grass is green. Hard to imagine that we will need to feed the horses so slick and round, but they're gonna need it when snow's on the ground. Hayin' time, hayin' time, making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favorites, 'cause it's hayin' time. Call up your family, call all your friends, and we'll drink a cold one when the day ends. And when we stack that final bale, we'll celebrate and know we earned that ale. Hay in time, hay in time, making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favors, 'cause it's hayin' time. If you are a farmer, you know it won't make you rich. It's hard work, that's no lie. But the satisfaction at the end of days like this, no amount of money can buy. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Call up all the neighbors, the givers and the takers. Call in all your favors, cause it's haying time.
And that's Hayin' Time by Marianne Kennedy. And of course, you can buy all of Marianne Kennedy's music just by going to MariannKennedy.com. Well, the next segment we have for you on this special episode of Horses in the Morning, remember we are recorded, we're bringing you a best of episode today, is the Nab Strupper horses. Of all the breeds that we've done, this had to be one of the most fun segments. I think it was all of our favorites. It's the Nab Strupper horses done on November the 30th. Take a listen.
You remember a while back, I forget which show it was, you correlated a particular breed of dog to a particular horse. Well,
oh, yes,
I think
yes,
we could
yes.
do that for our next guest, couldn't we?
I think so. Nice segue, Glenn, because you're exactly right. I think we compared the Cleveland Bay to kind of the Basset Hound of the horse world. And she actually wasn't offended. And then this breed of horse, Glenn, the Nab Strupper, is kind of the Dalmatian of the horse world, if you will. Incredibly athletic and spotted. So Rebecca Pennington is on the phone from the Nab Strupper Association. And much like we did the Friesians last week, Breed Day continues today. And we're going to learn about the Nab Strupper. And you're saying, what is she saying? Rebecca, tell us, what is a Nab Strupper?
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
A Nab Strupper, and by the way, let me tell you, there's two different ways to pronounce it because people are always asking me that. You can call them a Nab Strupper, like a doorknob and stormtrooper together, Nab Strupper, but you can also call them Knob Strupper. So both ways are correct, and so if you hear me say them interchangeably, just forgive me. But it's
Knob,
a breed of
Knob
horse.
Strupper.
Knob Strupper.
I'm just practicing here. Knob Strupper. I like that way better.
Knob.
If you can hear the Danish say it, it's I cannot reproduce it. The Americans just cannot produce. They swallow the K sound as they say it, and it's just impossible for us. But they're a okay. wonderful breed of horse from Denmark. They're considered a warm blood, like the Hanoverians and the Oldenburgs and the Holsteiners, but they're spotted like the American Appaloosa. There are three different kinds of them, so you can't really say what's a typical Knob Strupper. The most commonly bred ones these days are the sport horse type that are bred like the Hanoverians and Oldenburgs for show jumping and dressage. But they also still have a Baroque type that's used more like a carriage horse or circus horse.
I can't get over the Knob Strupper. That doesn't sound like it should be right.
It's a big, long name, isn't it?
Yes, it is for a strong horse. And I think that, you know, I was looking through the pictures on your website, and you're right. It's three dramatically different kinds of horse in looks because, I mean, obviously the color patterns are very, very different. But you've got the Baroque horse, which is like almost that big neck of the Andalusian and the big solid chests and big rear ends. And they're very Baroque looking, I mean, Spanish looking. And then you've got the ponies, too, which I noticed. And then it's almost like you have a POA pony in the same breed of horse as that the warm blood variety or the Baroque variety. I think it's very cool.
Well, the breeders in Denmark, it's a small country and a small number of breeders, and they're sort of just loosely aligned. I don't believe to this day they even have an office for the Knob Strupper Registry, but those breeders over there, like American breeders, can be very strong-willed and opinionated, and all of them like a different look in their horse. And how it's ended up over the years is three completely different types. But it actually means there's a type for anybody.
So does that mean that there's a type of riding that or sport that they're better at, or do you recommend anything?
Well, the sport horse type, which is the most commonly bred now, can really stand on its own right along any other warm blood in the world. In fact, we just proved that a few weeks ago when one of our breeders here in the United States sent her Knobstrupper stallion, Colorado Skrolfstrup, she sent him through the 70-day stallion testing that's done for the more traditional warm bloods, to prove mm-hmm. that they could compete right alongside them, and he ended up third in jumping and fifth in dressage and fifth overall in the whole group.
Wow.
They're wonderful horses. They've got, all of them can jump. I mean, I've never heard of a Knobstrupper. I don't care if he's a Baroque type or a sport horse type or a pony that can't jump. They seem to just be born with it and love it. How far they go in dressage will depend on how they're bred. So the more sport horse types are going to have the better ability to go far in dressage over the more Baroque type, which wasn't really made for that.
Now, as far as the registry goes, I have tons of questions for you because I want to get into the fact that this breed actually almost was extinct. But now, before we get to that, do you have to have color to be registered? Is that part of the registry process?
No, not at all. A Knobstrupper horse can be solid colored. The gene that creates the spotting, well, there's actually two genes that work together, but it's very complicated and it's hard to get into here. We could do a whole show on that, though. But the gene that creates the spotting color is a dominant gene. So either it passes or it does not. If it does not pass, then you get a solid horse. But he's no less a Knobstrupper and no less entitled to be branded and registered. In fact, while it's unusual for someone to keep a solid-colored Knobstrupper to stand at stud, there are a few that were just so exceptional in every other way that they went ahead and kept them a stallion and just make sure they breed them to colored mares.
Interesting. So tell us a little bit about, I was reading on your website, which is knobstrippers.com, and you'll have to... I can't say it. Knobstrupers.com or Knobstrupers.com, that they were actually almost extinct in the 1870s all the way up to like the mid-1900s. So
yeah.
Tell us about that and how'd that come about, how they fixed
it. Before we can really understand how that happened, we have to understand that this breed didn't get started until, middle European times with one horse. And by the 1870s, because they started with one horse, they ended up with a pretty small gene pool, as you can imagine. So mm-hmm. by the 1870s, they were starting to be threatened because of the limited gene pool. And then in 1891, the Knobstrugard, which was the name of the villa or the farm where they got started and how they got their name, it had a fire, and it destroyed about 22 of their best breeding horses. So all of a sudden, they've got a limited gene pool anyway, and now they've lost their 22 top breeding horses. So within about 10 years, by about 1900, they were declining so much in number that it was like, okay, we've lost the Knobstrupper. But the breeders in Denmark, these farmers, said, nope, we're not letting it go. This is too wonderful of a horse. And so they started trying to revive the breed and trying to the outcross, which ended up starting the whole sport horse type, because what they were outcrossing to were the Danish warm bloods primarily and the Trakehners. And then mm-hmm. in 1971, a breeder named Fried Nielsen brought in three Appaloosa stallions to Denmark so that they could infuse some new spotted blood into the breed. Now, before you start thinking, whoa, Appaloosas, that made perfect sense because the American Appaloosa developed directly from the same ancestors that the Knopf Trooper developed from in Europe, the spotted horses that were painted on the caves in the area of Europe, excuse me, now known as Spain. So they were putting new spotted blood back in, but they weren't, as long as they didn't import an Appaloosa that was basically a spotted quarter horse, which they did not, they were putting the same blood back in. So by the mid-70s, the breed had been revived and continues to grow today.
So how many are there in the United States right now?
There are less than 100 in all of North America.
Really?
Yes. They're growing every year, and you hear a lot about them, and the reason is not their color, because we've got plenty of colored Appaloosas out there that you don't hear about. But you hear about the Knopf Trooper because the few that are out there are doing so well in the show ring, and they prove themselves over and over to be practically born broke. They're just the easiest horses to start under saddle and train that you could ever imagine. So people talk about them. They meet one once, and they say, that's the breed for me.
Okay. I found one.
How exactly
one,
is
Jamie.
Somebody going to meet? Sorry, go ahead.
I found one. I was on shopping, like I usually do during the breed shows, and I found one for sale. It's only $40,000, no problem.
Put it on the American Express.
Yeah, no problem there. I imagine there was only 100 in the country that they wouldn't be cheap. But this one's cute. It's not too spotted, but it's got spots. It's just, you know, it's got a classy amount of spots. And it kind of looks like an overgrown Dalmatian, but apparently very good at dressage. And I think it's for sale in the United States, but I can't say the name because they have really hard names to say. Its last name is Middlesome.
Yeah, I know the horse.
Is it a good one? Should I buy that
one? Actually, he's a stallion. And so I didn't realize that she had put him on the market, but he's a very nice horse. You can find them for a lot less than $40,000, though. Don't let that scare your listeners away. You can find a good, nicely colored, well-bred Knopf Trooper, even in North America, for between $15,000 and $20,000.
Okay, oh, well, thank you.
That's about the same as the Frisians we were looking at. So.
Yeah, that's true. So we're talking with Rebecca Pennington from the Knopf Trooper Association, and I would imagine that with only 100 horses in the U.S., you know probably every single one of them, right?
Just about, yes, ma'am.
So I was reading online that somebody, actually one of the stallions, is not too far away from me here in Arizona, and he is... Is that the one that did the 70-day testing?
Are you thinking about Colorado Scrubstrip?
Yes, and then there's another one. And he what?
Colorado is no longer in Arizona. He is now in Oklahoma.
I was going to go visit him.
Yeah, he's at Avalon Farm in Tulsa, Oklahoma area. He's in Wynnewood, actually, where he will stand at stud. When he was in Arizona, he was being competed, and the lady who owned him just adored him, but she had several stallions she was trying to show, and, she didn't have time to really stand him at stud, so he was sort of, his bloodlines were sort of being lost to the breed. He was here, but she had no time to take him to be collected, and she didn't know anything about standing a stallion at stud, so for the best interest of the stallion, he went to Joss Mottershead and Kathy St. Martin in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so that he can be stood at stud. And he's the one that went through the 70-day test and is now booking a lot of mares for the spring.
So when you say he's booking a lot of mares, but there's only 100 here in the U.S., are you doing a lot of, breeding in other countries? Or is he pretty much just breeding mares here? Or what type of mares?
He has some offspring in Europe already that he had before he was imported. I don't know if his previous owners and breeders kept any frozen semen on him. I just cannot answer that question. But here he will be bred, well, thus far, I just talked to Kathy just a few days ago, so this is the most up-to-date information on Colorado. There are a lot of Americans with traditional warm blood mares, including one woman with an elite Hanoverian mare who's booked to him this year. So, or for this spring. So primarily he's being outcrossed to other warm bloods and a few thoroughbreds. to produce more sport horse type Knopfstroopers. Now, those mares, before the babies can be registered as Knopfstroopers, those mares will have to be presented for inspection and approval unless they've already been approved by another warm blood registry. If they've been approved by another warm blood registry, the American Knopfstrooper Association will accept those scores. But they have to be inspected and approved before their offspring can be registered.
Now, I assume that they're popular for the crossbreeding like that, the outcrossing, because of their personality and their temperament.
Absolutely.
And their easy trainability.
Yeah. Yes, primarily. But then you can't beat that color. I mean, you can't talk about gaining attention in a show ring, and some of we show people kind of like that. On the flip side, there's no place to hide if you screw up.
Well, and you said they're darn good jumpers too, right?
So. They are indeed. Yes. In fact, Colorado was third in place in jumping at the stallion testing against all these. I mean, many Holsteiner stallions that are been bred for jumping for many generations.
Well. By the way, I represent the stallions out there as a horse husband that I think all breeding should be live cover just for their benefit, but I'm just putting that out there.
Well, actually, Glenn, let me just say this. If we all did live cover, there would be many, 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 many injured stallions out there because there's plenty of mares that will fire off both back feet just for
the don't
covered.
We know it.
Artificial insemination is for the safety of everyone, including the stallion.
Except for the guy
I'm still representing
the stallion. Good Lord, that's not a fun job. I've seen it done. It's you're putting your life in your hands doing that. So yeah, Glenn, I'm glad that you're the stallion live cover advocate in the United States.
Yes,
we're gonna put that on your business card.
I live in Kentucky, go ahead.
Are you also opposed to gelding, Glenn?
Yeah, that kind of makes me uncomfortable. So.
I love it. I love it. Well,
I
sure
think that's
do
a
appreciate.
Different show, though.
That's a whole another show. Oh, Rebecca Pennington from the Knopfstrooper Association. It has been awesome having you on. Certainly keep us up to date on everything, everything Knopfstrooper in the United States, because I just like saying it. And just so we can spell it for everybody who's sitting in front of their computer right now and is going, what are they saying? I'm going to spell it for you and make sure I'm correct here. It's Knabstrooper. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, Google that. Look for some pictures. You're going to fall in love with this spotted warm blood. So it's very, very cool. And, Rebecca, we sure do appreciate you being on with us.
You're very welcome. It was fun.
All right, we'll
Thanks,
talk
Rebecca.
To you soon.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a different breed. I can honestly say that I don't think I've ever seen one of those in person.
I cannot believe there's only 100 in the United States. I mean, that's a very small number. I mean, what does she do during the day when she's at work? I'm going to go to work at the Knopfstrooper Association, and it's just another day here.
Yeah,
with the 100.
I imagine it's a small office.
Glenn, you don't realize that you met a Knopfstrooper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The farm in Maryland, where I kept Hazel, bred Knopfstroopers.
Really?
Yeah.
That one that was set back the road there?
Yeah, and she had an approved mare. Now, the approved Knopfstrooper mare was also a registered American Appaloosa, but she had several Knopfstrooper foals that you met when you come and visit Hazel and pet their little noses. Yeah, they look to most people, I'm sure they just look like another Appaloosa. They just don't realize they're looking at a Knopfstrooper.
Wow, I didn't know. See,
you didn't know.
Jamie, I take that back. I have met one.
Well, you know what? I think the way you can tell the difference between a Knopfstrooper and an Appaloosa is that by looking at these pictures, Knopfstroopers actually have tails. They're on their tails.
You're absolutely right.
Her little Appaloosas just can't grow a tail.
Well, that was the Nabstruppers, well, that breed, you know, the polka-dotted ones. And it was fun to have them on. It was, as you can tell, we had a good time with the Nabstruppers. Well, next up, I wanted to play for you one of the things that's become popular on the shows is our openers. I try and put different musical openers together for the different days, depending on what's going on. Well, there's been a lot of snow going on in the country. So I put this opener together, and I think it was quite popular that day or not, depending on how much snow you had. But it applies even now as we get more and more storms, and we're in the worst winter in history. So here we go.
The lamp's burning low upon my tabletop. Snow softly falling.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it does.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away.
The wind is freezing all around. And dirty snow keeps falling down. I'm still here.
That was one of the many openers I've put together for the show. We hope you enjoy those little musical teases at the very beginning of the show. They're kind of fun for us, and we hope you enjoy them as well. We have two more segments for you, maybe a couple more songs too. We would be remiss if we didn't play the interview that we did on November the 9th with Tom McCutcheon. Tom McCutcheon's a reiner who just won Horse of the Year and Rider of the Year by the United States Equestrian Federation. So I think we wouldn't be doing our duty if we didn't play that interview that we did with Tom back on November the 9th. So here's Tom McCutcheon, rider and horse of the year.
He's one of the winningest reiners of all times with millions in earnings. His wins include NRBC Open Championship, two National Reining Horse Association Derby Reserve Championships, the Traditional Open for Charity, the SWRHA Open for Charity, and he's a many-time finalist at every major NRHA event, and he now adds to his collection an individual and team gold medal from the 2010 World Equestrian Games.
Wow.
Tom McCutcheon riding Gunner's Special Night. And I think we have Tom up here. Tom, you're on the air. Are you there?
I'm here.
How
good
are
morning.
You doing, Tom? It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Good morning to you guys.
Tom, we spoke a while back before the World Equestrian Games. We were the ones that you spoke to that did the World Equestrian Games radio show. And you were on with Tim. We had you and Tim on the same show. And we spoke about the World Equestrian Games ahead of time. And now we get to speak to you after. I saw every one of your rides at the Kentucky Horse Park during the games. What a special time that was for you and for the whole United States team.
Oh, you know, absolutely. That's going to be, for sure, that's the most memorable horse show that I've ever been to, and something we'll remember for a long, long time. It was just an amazing event with all the media and all the people and all. I mean, it was something I'll, you know, probably never be able to duplicate just because it was here in the States and, you know, a lot of friends there, and it's just a great, great experience.
You know, one of the neat things, Tom, that happened, I think, at the World Equestrian Games this year, that it was here in Kentucky, you know, 4 miles from where I live and where I'm recording from this morning. But one of the cool things was I talked to a lot of people that were in that audience who had never seen reining before. This was the first time they were watching reining. I think it educated a lot of people to how cool a sport reining is.
Yeah, I mean, and we've heard that a lot. You know, I've had a lot of people just after our coverage on NBC and stuff, a lot of people that know me outside the horse world, you know, call me and say, wow, that was awesome. I've never seen anything like that. And had a couple of my friends come and take riding lessons and the whole deal. So yeah, I think it's a great sport, and you know, those are really great horses to ride and a lot of fun, and I think there's a lot of people starting to get interested in it. I think that whole thing was more than we ever could have imagined for the reining horse industry.
You know, and before we get to your horse, which I do want to talk about, Gunner's Special Night, I want to talk about, you call him Gunner. Is that his
bar name? I call him Bailey. His bar name is Bailey. Okay. You know, his daddy's name is Gunner, and a lot of people just call him Gunner, but we call him Bailey in our barn.
All right.
Now,
well, I do want to ask you about Bailey, but at first I wanted to ask you real quick, before we get to Bailey, I wanted to ask you how cool it was to be on the winning a gold medal team with your father-in-law, Tim McKay.
You know, it was a great experience. You know, we show at a lot of horse shows at the same time, but, you know, there's nothing about our businesses that are intertwined other than, you know, obviously my wife. It was a lot of fun to be in that situation where you're a teammate and you kind of, you know, you're responsible for each other, and what you do impacts, you know, the result and how they do. And to really have that experience for my wife was
aww,
amazing. I mean, she was she got a lot of excitement out of that deal, I guarantee you.
Now, is she a reiner as well?
She is. She's a non-professional, and she's won over $1 million also. She's the only non-pro to win over $1 million, and you know, she's the all-time winningest non-pro. So she's certainly knows what we're going through. Yeah, walking in the ring and getting ready, and she's a tremendous help to you know, to the whole situation, because you're so much pressure in that situation, and it really helps to be able to hang out with somebody that understands that mm-hmm. pressure and knows what you're talking about when you're talking about getting them ready and whatnot. So, yeah, having her around.
Tom, you can't hold that over her head either. You can't say, oh, I won more than you. I mean, that sort of takes that away in the kitchen, doesn't it?
Well, no, I can't say that, because I haven't. Actually, she's won more than I have, so... Yeah, and I hope she doesn't say that to me. I hope you didn't give her any ideas there.
Yeah, there you go. Now, I have a question, Tom. The horses that you guys ride are so finished. I mean, so unbelievably trained to the slightest change in your seat, the slightest change in your hand position. How long does it take? Like, the horse that you rode in the Wegs, how long does it take from start to finish to get him where he was?
Well, you know, he's 6 years old, and we start these horses as two-year-olds. We start them in January of their two-year-old year. So, you know, he's had a lot of training, but the requirement, you know, they're ready to – we show them – we have a big horse show. Our Futurity is coming up in December, and and that's in their three-year-old year. And they're doing – I mean, they're doing a lot. They're doing – They're broke. I mean, they're ready to go horse show and show at a high level. So, you know, roughly 2 years, a little less. It's just that the requirement, you know, the requirement for the Weg Games is they have to be six. So that's just what, you know, what we all showed. They can't be younger than that. But they're ready to go rock and roll in 2 years. You know, the good ones, some of them, it takes them a little longer. But the good ones are ready to go in 2 years.
Well, let's talk about that. I know that Gunner Special Night was a horse that wasn't yours from the beginning. You picked up Gunner not too long ago. Am I right about that?
Yep, we got him in April. And, you know, I had a couple other horses for this for the same owner. I won the test event out there last year on a mare that she owns, Sarah Williman, in Turnabout Farm. She's just been a phenomenal owner. We were the reserve, actually, the alternate on the Aachen team in 06. So, and Sarah has had horses on the on other Weg teams, jumpers on other Weg teams, and she's, you know, she's been to the Olympics. So she's got a tremendous amount of experience in the international game. And I've seen this horse for a long time. I've seen him at the horse shows. I've been around him. And when we got the opportunity to go ahead and buy him, I asked Sarah if she had an interest, and the great owner that she is, it took her about 2 seconds to say, let's do it. So that's how we ended up with him. And Marcy Vermeer had him, and she did an awesome job getting him horse trained. We just, a few minor adjustments, and that's all it took. He's just such a good horse. He was real easy to switch over.
Now, did I hear that he's retiring now?
He is, as far as he knows, he's retiring. it looks like we're going to breed 100-plus mares to him this year. That was really good for his career and in the breeding shed. But, there's a chance. If there's a lot of talk about, Mr. Lyons has talked about putting on with Alltech another major reining event. And if something like that happens, we might bring him out. We're thinking right now about just keeping him galloped. I have right now my 10-year-old son comes out and rides him after school every day. So we're kind of keeping him legged up and maybe bring him back for Normandy. I think that would be a lot of fun to come back. He'd be 10 years old, which, 15, 20 years ago, 10 years old was old for a reining horse. But with all the new international competitions, we're seeing more and more older horses show up there, and he's just fresh as can be and ready to go. So Normandy might be on the schedule.
And you just said something, too, that caught my ear, because I hadn't heard that before, and that's about Dr. Lyons maybe looking at doing a big event here. That would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some talk about that. I've had a personal conversation with him about that. So, I don't know where that's going to end up or where that's going to go, but I sure know they're interested. So that would be a lot of fun for everybody.
And not a bad job for old Bailey, 100 mares a year until he gets to go back to the leg again. That's not too bad a gig.
No. And I whispered that in his ear right before that finals run. So, yeah,
it was great. Dude, you're going to want to get a gold medal, I swear. Just do it. Trust me. That's great. Well, you mentioned the fact that, he won the gold medal. 10 is old for a reiner. You have about one of the coolest and most up-to-date rehab facilities around. I mean, you've got the swimming. You've got everything that you can do to keep a horse sound. You have right there at your fingertips.
Yeah, and that was a huge advantage, I think, for us in between our qualifier and the actual horse show. We had in the actual WEG games, we had a couple months in there, and he was really good at the qualifier. I didn't feel like I needed to do a lot of horse training on him, so we let him swim every day, and that's how we kept him fit and kept him in shape. Yeah, and he came back so mentally refreshed and strong just from that swimming. And we swim horses, we rehab horses from all over the world. It's just been a great deal for us. And people send us horses from everywhere to rehab them here. And, we're so lucky right here. There's a lot of other parts of the country that aren't as fortunate as we are. We have 3 or 4 of the top vets in the entire world within 30 minutes of us. So, in correlation with those vets, we get a lot of horses here to rehab and just to get fit. A lot of show horses, there's nothing wrong with them. People just want them fit, and they know that we have some really good people overlooking that situation. So, yeah, it's been good.
We're here on Horses in the Morning with Tom McCutcheon, who is the double gold medal winner at the World Equestrian Games in reining, who I had the absolute pleasure to watch every one of your rides, sitting right there at the press box right at the end. So I was thrilled to be doing that. I wanted to ask you, we have a topic we're talking about today, and I think I'm going to know your answer, but maybe not. The topic we're asking callers to call in about today is, where is the coolest place you've ever ridden? So is it the WEG?
The coolest place, yeah, I would say right now because of the situation and the games. And, like I say, that's going to be a memory that I'm never going to forget. And, I went to the first games in 2002. And, you know, the situation was a little bit different for me there. And I don't, you know, I just didn't take it all in as much as I took this one in. And, you know, it's not that I'm a lot older, you know, and not that I was a kid when I went there, you know, that was only 8 years ago. But, you know, having my own kids and just, you know, the things that have happened in the last 8 years in our industry and in our own personal business, you know, you really take in, as you learn to take it all in. And we did take it all in, and we did we took a lot of videos and a lot of pictures. So yeah, that was definitely cool for us. But I've really been lucky to show, you know, I've showed in Italy, I've shown in, you know, Spain, and we've really shown in some super cool places. We had a big horse show in a bullfighting ring in Mallorca, and We've had the opportunity to go around and do some really neat stuff.
Now, Tom, before we let you go, we like to ask our gold medal winning riders just a couple silly fun questions before we let you go. So I would like for you to imagine that you're sitting on a deserted island and you can only have one horse with you. Who is it?
That's not a hard question right now. Bailey, Gunner Special Knight would be that horse right now.
Okay, you can have one horse book with you to read over and over. What horse book would you have?
That's a tough one because I'm not I'm just not a big reader, but I would say that's a tough one. I can't answer that one because I don't know, you know.
You can say pass, but it didn't say you had one horse movie.
One horse movie. Well, you know, Secretariat's fresh on my mind, and so I just saw that one and liked it. And I guess of the horse books, you know, I remember as a kid, and I still remember the book and the story, reading The Ponies of Shincoteague, and that was a pretty cool book when I was a kid and had a big, I mean, I remember that stuck with me for a long time, so maybe that'd be the book. And then I guess Secretariat, because that's what's freshest in my mind.
And then, you know, finally, and then we'll let you go, you get to take one celebrity with you. You're on the island with her, or him. Who is it?
My wife.
Okay, good.
There you go. That's
smart
that,
man.
That redeems from earlier.
Tom is a smart man.
Tom, thank you very much for being on with us. We really appreciate you joining us. We hope to have you back again soon sometime. And I have to tell Jamie that I saw one of the most special memories that I have, Tom, of the World Equestrian Games was watching Edward ride in the dressage, watching Edward Gal ride in the dressage. And who was standing beside me in that arena to watch Edward ride was you, was your father-in-law, Tim McKay, was Sean Flaherty, and Craig Schmersal were standing right beside me, had come over to watch the dressage, and had come over to watch teammate also you came over to watch. So it was a pleasure to see you guys enjoying the other sports as well.
Yeah, no, we always try and get around when we go to those games. You know, we have such a tremendous amount of respect for all the other horse trainers and all the other disciplines, and you know, anytime we get a chance and we get a little, they keep us pretty busy there with media and everything else and sponsor commitments. But when we get a chance, we love to go watch that other stuff. It's really great.
Well, thank you very much, Tom, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me. And we have a lot of footage there from the games on videohorsehelp.com. Which is a little site of mine, and it's really cool. So thanks again for having me, and we appreciate it.
Well, that was Tom McCutcheon. As we said, USEF Rider of the Year, and his horse is Horse of the Year. And we appreciated him being on with us. We have one more segment for you, but I wanted to mention that this half hour is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. You can visit them at PfizerAH.com. You're listening to a recorded version of Horses in the Morning. If you're just tuning in, this is a best of episode. We are not here, so please don't give us a call today. We'll be back again tomorrow. We're on our way home from Philadelphia from our trip over the weekend, and we hope you enjoyed the coverage from the American Equestrian Trade Association yesterday. So we're bringing the best of. We have a special segment coming up here, and we have Jamie's favorite segment. But first, one of the songs that's sort of become a regular staple on the show is because we end up talking about green riders on green horses all the time. And so the song by Marianne Kennedy, Green on Green, has become very popular, and we're going to play that for you right now. We're going to be back with Jamie's pick, and of course, it's from the Hottest Horseman episode.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire. Today you might get off scot-free, but chances are eventually he'll go up. You come down, that's when you'll understand this song. I can't tell you what to do, but green on green makes black and blue. Green on green makes black and blue. I wouldn't ride if I were you. He is your first and he's only two. Haven't you heard? Take my word. Green on green makes black and blue. If I were you, it's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire. Today you might get off scot-free, but chances are eventually you go up, you come down. That's when you'll understand this song. I can't tell you what to do, but green on green makes black and blue.
And of course, that's Marianne Kennedy again with Green on Green. That's off of her Hoop Beats, Heart Beats, and Wings CD. Well, now up, we have Jamie's favorite segment. Of course, it's from the Hottest Horseman episode that we did from the award show. And of course, you'll know who it is. Of course, it's Charles, the caretaker of Zenyatta from Lane's End Farm. And if you're a Templeton Thompson lover, you want to hang on because we're going to close out the show today with a little Tempe. But right now, the Hottest Horseman episode, and this is Jamie's favorite, Charles.
They deserve. But there was one couple that really stood out in the nominations, and you know, we had to make some special compromises for certain people and certain couples. After, you know, Raphael was definitely going to win best couple with Ivory Powell, we had to make the Hottest Horseman's Special Honor Award. So the winner of the 2010 Hottest Horseman's Special Honor Award goes to... Zinjata, congratulations, and let me just introduce you to Charles here. Charles is the assistant manager for the broodmares at Lane's End Farm in Lexington, Kentucky. So that means he handles one very special mare daily, if you've heard of her. Her name is Zinjata. And while Charles qualified for several of the 2010 Hottest Horseman Awards, we felt that he really deserved kind of an all-encompassing Best in Show Award. So Charles, congratulations. How do you feel?
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. It's lovely lovely to win something like that.
I don't know what I won.
I know. Let's talk about pressure here. You know, do you have more pressure in handling this mare or in accepting this award?
Pre-accepting the award. The mare, thankfully, is so intelligent and just such a great horse. She takes care of herself. So she just has to get adjusted, and she's fine. It's me that's the problem. Collecting awards, I think.
Well, see, the thing is, Helena, that Charles actually qualified for so many categories. You know, he qualified for, I mean, he's not married. He does have a girlfriend, but that's an eligible bachelor. He qualifies for best couple. He qualified, you know, for several things. So we kind of had to create an award for you, Charles, because there's just nobody more special in many of our hearts than Zinjata. And then to throw a hot guy being photographed by the blood horse leading her around the snowy Kentucky pasture, are you kidding me?
Well, I think I'm being helped along a lot by Zinjata. She is one of the most beautiful horses I've ever seen. You know, she's big, but she's just a big, beautiful filly. She's not coarse. She's still very feminine and very nice to look at.
Were you prepared at all? Or... Go ahead, Jamie.
I said, so what is it like working with it? Like, how does that whole thing come up? Like, Zinjata obviously comes to Lane's End, and they say, all right, Charles, there you go. What's the pressure like in that situation?
It meant a lot more after reading what Dottie put on her website and on Facebook, just how much she means to the public and the fans. Obviously, she's done so much for racing, and just for the image of racing, that increased a little bit of pressure, but nothing too bad. We've got great guys on the farm that are also working, Craig, Andrew, Sarah and Guillermo, all in her barn, and they're all fantastic horse people. So she is in the best of hands, and the managers here, Mike and Todd, you know, they've got the horse's best interest at heart, so relatively easy. Just she's so strong. When she came off the track, she was just very much on the muscle. It was good fun. It was great. And the photographer's got some great pictures, I think.
Oh, now, yeah, we think so, too.
Charles, were you at all prepared for being in the spotlight? You know, you are sort of, you're on this journey with Zinjata. How does it feel to suddenly be under the microscope, so to speak, with her? Obviously, the mare's not going to be a problem. It's never the horses who are the problem. It's always what we humans impose on each other. But how are you handling that, being in the spotlight?
My friends are great. They keep me very much down to earth. It was just reading Facebook and seeing, you know, she has 54,000 plus friends on Facebook, and you're thinking, all these people want the best thing for her. And, you know, they can be quite critical. But it's just because they love the mare so much. So there is a little bit of added pressure, but you can never think of that, or you just have to put it in the back of your mind when you're taking care of her. And just, you know, she's a horse at the end of the day, and she's going to do the same as all the other horses do. She's just a lot more valuable in people's hearts and minds.
She really is, and that's why I think that the Mosses and John and all of them have done such a great job with her, because she is important to the public, but which came first, you know? I mean, she's been so exposed to everybody, and everybody's had such great access to her. And even now on the farm, I have never heard of a horse basically retiring and still having all this communication and photos done and videos of the first turnout. I mean, there's been pictures of her in the stall, pictures of her on her first turnout, videos of her, you know, with you walking her around. And there's never been the follow-up with any horse. And I just, is that the mosses that are kind of championing that? Because, I mean, they did show, like, when she first arrived in Lexington, people were allowed to come and see her at Keeneland.
Yeah.
Who's behind all that?
The thing at Keeneland was so impressive to see so many people turn out on such a cold evening. We're expecting, you know, a couple of hundred maybe, but the thousands that were there really made the mosses feel relaxed and comfortable leaving her here, knowing how much she means to everybody. She's, you know, it's hard to explain what it's been like having her here. The mosses and Dottie, John Sheriffs, and especially Mario, when they came up just to see how much they love the mare, and the internet access that the fans have had, I think it's been great for them because they can see that the mare is relaxed and happy at home, and she's not just being forgotten about. She's still being kept in the environment very much like she was used to at Barn 55 with the carrots, the mineral water, the aloe vera, the Guinness. She still gets all of those because we wouldn't want to stop her feed or anything like that. And it's just nice to spoil the girl because, you know, she deserves it.
Aww. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh, we love you.
Thank you.
This is great. So are you going to, you know, now that you guys have won kind of best in show, you and Zenyatta together, will Zenyatta hear about this? And, B, what are the guys in the barn going to say?
I don't know. Thankfully, they're not at the computer, so, you know, they won't be listening to this right now. They'll be listening to it after work. But, yeah, Zenyatta will probably go and share a Guinness and a carrot or two. And she'll get a kiss.
I love it. Well, don't worry. We're going to make sure that Lane's End Farm finds out that you and Zenyatta won Best in Show, okay?
Thanks very much, ladies.
Thank you so much for joining us, Charles. It's a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right, Charles, by the way, we're gonna keep in touch with you if you don't mind. We'd love to get Zenyatta updates periodically, and you've just been so fun to talk to. So we'll be in touch.
Perfect. Yeah, that's no problem.
All right. Thanks, Charles. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye. Dude.
Okay, I'm in love. I'm in love. And you sound like a total doofus. You're in love, too. I'm telling you,
I can't even talk. I mean, I'm sorry. Throw in the fact that he's this unbelievably good-looking guy, and then sorry, he's handling like my favorite horse in the world. Okay.
And then the British accent. Who knew? Oh my God.
Okay, I've got to compose myself.
Just breathe. Just breathe.
I'm like, oh my God, we're totally gonna call you back. Like, it's like totally be best friends.
At 11 o'clock tonight. Is it okay if we do a special interview at 11 p.m.?
We're going to do a one-on-one. All I'm saying is I can't wait till I go to Rolex in April. I'll be in Lexington, and I hope you're going to be in Lexington too, Helena, and we are totally going to stalk Charles.
I think I'm going to have to make a special trip, yes. And you know what was nice too? It was the way he really put the horse first. You know, he was like, listen, it's not about me. Even though, Jamie, we know that a lot of it is about him, especially after hearing him talk. But he put the mare first. And he said, it's nice to spoil a girl. Hello?
Hello? You're absolutely right.
He needs his own reality show. He needs his own reality show. That's all.
I'm going to go have a Guinness with the Zenyatta. How many people can say that? I mean, seriously.
I know.
Okay, right now I'm adding him as my Facebook friend.
Oh, you're totally going to creep him, aren't you?
No, it's for the show. Hello, we can keep up with Zenyatta. We have a direct line to the handler of Zenyatta. This is a big deal.
We really do. We're cool.
And everybody else who requests him on Facebook, that was one of the funniest things I read on Zenyatta.com, Helena, was that Charles, I guess we're not the only women who had seen the picture of Charles with Zenyatta and asked who he was, because she just called him Charles. And so when I was reading the blogs further, Zenyatta actually blogged, hey, by the way, Charles, his real name, his full name is this, so many of you have asked, and now Charles is so shocked in how many Facebook friends requests he's getting. So I guess tons of ladies have tried to find out who he is, and tons of ladies have also requested him on Facebook. So we're just white noise. I mean, that's all that it is.
We're just, yeah, what else is new? That's the history of the story of my life.
And that, of course, was Charles and Zenyatta from our Hottest Horseman episode. And Helena B. was there as well, my co-host on the Stable Scoop and Tack and Habit radio show. Well, that'll wrap it up for this special episode of Horses in the Morning. We've brought to you some of our favorite little bits over the last couple of months. And there were so many more. I mean, we've had such a good time. I didn't have time really to go through and pick out all the funny jokes and all of that. But we'll do that another day. And then I promise you someday, I actually have the demo reel that Jamie sent to me when she auditioned for this part of a morning show host of her days in Atlanta radio. She put together this little demo reel of when she was the dating diva telling all of her dating stories from her time in Atlanta. So we'll have to play that for you some morning. We'll surprise Jamie with that. So we're going to take out this special episode with our friend Templeton Thompson with one of the songs that I like the best off of her Girls and Horses CD. And of course there's Girls and Horses, but that's too predictable. It's one of the ones that I think fits our morning show perfectly, and it's called Beautiful Day by Templeton Thompson. And of course, you can buy all of her music at templetonthompson.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Wear your helmet. We'll be back again tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, on Horses in the Morning.
There's a bluebird on some barbed wire. There ain't no clouds, only blue sky. And I got flowers in my garden. Yeah, it's looking like a beautiful day. So I was thinking I'd go walking down the dirt road. Maybe stop and smell the roses. Take it easy, cause it's looking like a beautiful day. Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day, hey, beautiful. Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day. Lay the top down. It's a beautiful day.